If you picture a family, family life, what does it look like on a Sunday afternoon? How many of you had a father that was laying back in his favorite chair snoring? Sunday afternoon, that was family life. Yeah. The oldest in the house would be shut up in their room, right? The younger ones in the family would be fighting Sunday afternoon, even though they had been in church Sunday morning. Mom would be cooking again, getting ready for supper, even though it's Sunday afternoon. Family life. It's not always easy, is it? It's not always Norman Rockwell, you know, kind of designs and where it looks so cheerful and the cheeks are rosy. And maybe there's a fireplace, maybe not, and depends upon what season of the year it is and the artwork. You know, you may have stockings hung with care, you may have a Christmas tree, or you might just have summer weather, shorts and a t-shirt. But when we come to scriptures and when we look at our own life, our own family life, we realize that family life could be described as a door. Sometimes it's wide open. Sometimes it's locked shut. Today's gospel reading has lots of doors in it. You probably not thought of Christmas as a door illustration, but it is. You know, the nativity story, as you have, you know, God sending his son, God opened the door, didn't he? He opened the gates of heaven and sent forth his son. It's a great door. It's a door that's open for us now for eternal life. For God receives all who are alive in Christ unto himself. And one day we will walk through that portal in our bodies, glorified, unto life everlasting. That is a neat door. The problem is there's a lot of doors between now and then, isn't there? And sometimes, as a list was made about the doors of humanity, sometimes the doors are closed, sometimes they are slammed closed, sometimes they are locked closed, and sometimes they actually get opened. And sometimes, as we look at the Christmas narrative, sometimes we're even afraid, cautious, maybe is the better word, to open it. Mary was told by an angel, Gabriel, "Hail, O highly favored one." And she's going, "What? You know, I'm not sure I want the door wide open right now." And then when he said she's going to have a baby, she goes, wait a minute, you know, almost like this is the door. Okay, how can this be? You know, right? And then they discover as in that time she was betrothed to Joseph, and Joseph discovers, and he's not been with her. There's been no premarital hanky-panky here, you know. Joseph has not been with her, and he finds out his bride, his wife, is with child, and he knows he's not the one. And he starts to close the door again, maybe even slammed it at first. Can you imagine the hurt and the pain? The brokenness of the relationship? It'd be pretty powerful, wouldn't it? And so there, he's told in a dream, you know, to take her because, you know, God provided this child. But he was ready to slam the door and divorce her. This is really different than our culture today because engagements get broken and made and broken and made and broken and made. And if you're Elizabeth Taylor and Richard Burton, marriage was broken and remarried and broken and remarried. And I mean, you know, we don't think anything of it within our lifetime. But in this day, the day of Matthew, the day of Luke, it was special. And it was and would have been a divorce. Not just, well, I no longer want you. It would have been a slamming of the door and having it locked. This relationship is ended. But that's not the Christmas narrative, is it? God sent forth his son. He opened the door. And God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, enabled Mary to conceive, and God opened the womb. And God took on that hurt of Joseph and his heart and that brokenness that was the drama of the relationship, now possibly ended forever. And God opened Joseph's heart so that he would take this woman with child, not his child, but God's own son, from all eternity to be his own. And God opened the door to the world as he revealed himself, and he sort of stepped in to the creation in a different way, in a way beyond just saying, let there be, and there was, and we saw the hand of God, in a different way, where the law was written on the heart, in a greater way, where the very presence of God in Jesus Christ is physically right there in Bethlehem. And God opened the door for all to see. Christmas is about the door of our heart that by sinful nature is closed. It's closed to God. It's closed to each other, you know. It's closed to the world. We are guarded and with cause, because our hearts can be easily stepped on and abused and hurt and tortured by the sinful things we do, not only to ourselves but to one another. But Christmas is about how God took that which was closed and he opened it up. And in the heart that was dead with sin and closed in darkness, God brought his light. And he made it shine. God loves me dearly, right? Yeah. He opened the door to the relationship that he desired to have with his people. A people that were hiding behind the door. Pastors often use this time of the year to get a little bit on their soap opera box. So I'm going to step up here and talk about, you know, church members that only show up at Christmas and Easter. And although our doors are open all year round, you know, they finally come in, you know. But really, it's nothing to complain about in one sense, because God opens the door of the heart to touch it again. And he wants to keep on touching our hearts, doesn't he? For he kept touching the heart of Joseph to be the faithful father, the carpenter, the husband to Mary. He kept touching Mary's heart. It tells us she pondered all these things in her heart. And then at the cross, her heart was touched again. And he showed his heart through Jesus. Where he fulfills Jeremiah, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Where he fulfills that he is the Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one, to save us from sin, death, and that rascal of a creature, the devil. Pesty, isn't he? He wants you to close the door. He wants you to think of Christmas as stuff, you know. And if you don't get the stuff you want, right? Boy, this was a rotten Christmas, you know. Wednesday night, we had a family here. No, actually, it was yesterday. It was practice. And they were going to go Christmas shopping, and I said, oh, I want a radio-controlled sports car. I want a radio-controlled helicopter. You know, you could take my list. Of course, I won't get those things, and I shouldn't get those things. I just don't need that kind of thing. But you understand, we all have these want lists. And maybe you are content. You know, to your family members and to your friends, you might say, Pastor Al, you don't have to get me a thing. But don't believe me. In fact, at Gwen and ours time in life, we're downsizing. You know, I don't need another coffee maca. You know, I don't need it. So we went to the mall the other day. It was Gwen's birthday on Friday, and we were at the Apple store. And one of the young sales personnel came up and said, how are you doing? Have you been helped? I said, no. I said, I'm a pastor, and it's shameful. I've been standing here coveting. I said, I was looking at the iPad Pro. I said, boy, is that big. Yeah. I said, but I don't need it. He said, yeah, I come to work and sometimes I catch myself coveting too. It is a problem. I said, yeah, I think I'll leave now. We have all of these wants, and when the wants aren't fulfilled, sometimes when they have become obsessions, we start closing the heart. We close the heart to our family. We close the heart to God. You're not loving me enough, or you would give me what I want. And God shows us the greatest love ever because he gives us what we need, what we can't fulfill on our own. He opens up our heart of death to life. He opens up our heart of resentment and anger to forgiveness. He opens up our heart to love instead of all other kinds of emotions and bias. He opens up our heart as he opens up heaven and he gives us a Savior. Christmas is about an open door policy, isn't it? It's about God sending his Son so that you may know he's open to you. Now and forever. Amen.